History, 7th grade, Medieval Europe, March 30th through April 3rd. Wednesday, April 1st. History Unit, The Rise of the Frankish Kingdom. Lesson 6, Charlemagne's Catholic Church and Educational Reforms, and His Private Life. Lesson 6, Socratic Guiding Question. Keep this question in mind as you study. Why does Charlemagne take such a personal interest in the reform of the Catholic Church? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Compare Charlemagne's personal faith and intellectual life with his reforms of the Catholic Church and the education system of the day. Introduction to Lesson 6. After the Franks finally subdued the Saxons after 31 years of battle, Charlemagne establishes bishoprics and monasteries across Saxony. He also conquers the Lombards in 774 AD when asked to do so by Pope Adrian I. Charlemagne then takes the title King of the Lombards. In the first half of his reign, Charlemagne acts as a warrior king. In the second half of his reign, the riches were flowing into the Frankish kingdom from other tribes conquered. No longer fighting wars, Charlemagne is busy receiving embassies. He is more of a statesman in the last two decades of his life. Religion and state form an interwoven culture of Charlemagne's accomplishments. His anointing and power functions as a sort of ruling over church and state. Catholic Christian reforms. Similar to Constantine, who ruled from 311 to 337 AD, Charlemagne understands himself to be God's chosen one. He believes that an orderly church is part of the general order. He considers himself to be God's representative. Charlemagne believes in a Christian society, and yet he also feels the need to control the church. Charlemagne uses educated clergy to form a bureaucracy. He employs bishops and clergy to administrative roles in his various provinces and insists on having final approval over which clerics are chosen to be bishops. He also claims the right to veto someone proposed to be appointed bishop by ecclesial leaders. Charlemagne calls together various synods of bishops to implement various reforms. The reforms of Charlemagne include, number 1, the reform of preaching. Preaching from biblical texts is encouraged, and not just material from saints' lives. Charlemagne orders books of sermons to be prepared to help clerics preach better. Number 2, the practice of private confession of sins by an individual to a priest. This is a trend that is utilized, though not yet to be obligatory. The practice of private confession comes from the Irish monks. Number 3, he raises the basic standards of Christian education. Every Christian should be able to A. recite the Lord's Prayer and B. recite the Apostles' Creed. Number 4. He extends the system of archbishoprics. At the beginning of Charlemagne's reign, the only archbishopric in his domain is Mainz. But by the end of his reign, there are 22 such archbishoprics in his empire. Bishops are now accountable for their own actions. They are responsible to archbishops. Charlemagne wants frequent synods called to help with reforms. Page 9. Educational reforms. Charlemagne founds a school in his capital of Aachen. He searches for the best teachers for its faculty. Charlemagne handpicks and appoints Alcuin of York, a Benedictine monk, to teach the most talented students. Alcuin sets up two programs of learning based upon classical models. He employs the trivium, which is comprised of Latin grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and the quadrivium, which employs music, astronomy, geometry, and mathematics. Alcuin has a special love for Latin literature. He has manuscripts of Latin authors copied. He is in awe of classical civilization as it has come down to him from Cicero and Virgil. Carolingian copyists preserve numerous classical writers. They see the classical period as a superior time in intellectual history. These copyists give us Carolingian minuscule. It is lowercase lettering for handwriting. The script is much more legible, more readable, and Charlemagne himself sat in on Alcuin's classes. He will try to learn how to write. Charlemagne can maybe read a little bit, but to write is very difficult and painstaking. Charlemagne asks for books from Pope Hadrian I. He receives a text of canon law and the rule of Saint Benedict. Later, Charlemagne's son will decree that the rule of Saint Benedict will become the standard rule for all monasteries in the empire. Charlemagne is anxious to achieve liturgical uniformity and sought to promote the Roman Mass of the Latin Rite. Private life of Charlemagne. Read and annotate the following passage from the biographer Einhard in his Vita Caroli Magna, The Life of Charles the Great, chapters 22 through 27. 22. Charles was large and strong, and of lofty stature, though not excessively tall. The upper part of his head was round, his eyes very large and animated, nose a little long, hair auburn, and face laughing and merry. His appearance was always stately and dignified. His gait was firm, his whole carriage manly, and his voice clear, but not so strong as his size led one to expect. In accordance with the national custom, he took frequent exercise on horseback and in the chase, in which sports scarcely any people in the world can equal the Franks. 24. Charles was temperate in eating, and especially so in drinking, for he abhorred drunkenness in anybody, much more in himself and those of his household. But he could not easily abstain from food, and often complained that fasts injured his health. While at table he listened to reading or music. The subjects of the readings were the stories and deeds of olden time. He was fond, too, of St. Augustine's books, and especially of the one entitled The City of God. Charlemagne was so moderate in the use of wine and all sorts of drink that he rarely allowed himself more than 3 cups in the course of a meal. While he was dressing and putting on his shoes, he not only gave audience to his friends, but if the count of the palace told him of any suit in which his judgment was necessary, he had the parties brought before him forthwith, heard the case, and gave his decision, just as if he were sitting in the judgment seat. 25. Charles had the gift of ready and fluent speech, and could express whatever he had to say with the utmost clearness. He was not satisfied with ability to use his native language merely, but gave attention to the study of foreign ones, and in particular was such a master of Latin that he could speak it as well as his native tongue, but he could understand Greek better than he could speak it. He was so eloquent, indeed, that he might have been taken for a teacher of oratory. He most zealously cherished the liberal arts, held those who taught them in great esteem, and conferred great honors upon them. He took lessons in grammar of the deacon Peter of Pisa, at that time an aged man. Another deacon, Albin of Britain, surnamed Alcuin, a man of Saxon birth, who was the greatest scholar of the day, was his teacher in other branches of learning. The king spent much time and labor with him studying rhetoric, dialectic, and especially astronomy. He learned to make calculations, and used to investigate with much curiosity and intelligence the motions of the heavenly bodies. He also tried to write, and used to keep tablets and blanks in bed under his pillow, that at leisure hours he might accustom his hand to form the letters. However, as he began his efforts late in life and not at the proper time, they met with little success. 26. He cherished with the greatest fervor and devotion the principles of the Christian religion, which had been instilled into him from infancy. Hence it was that he built the beautiful basilica at Aix-la-Chapelle, which he adorned with gold and silver and lamps, and with rails and doors of solid brass. He had the columns and marbles for this structure brought from Rome and Ravenna, for he could not find such as were suitable elsewhere. He was a constant worshipper at this church, as long as his health permitted, going morning and evening, even after nightfall, besides attending Mass. He took care that all the services there conducted should be brought into the building. He took care that all the services there conducted should be held in the best possible manner, very often warning the sextons not to let any improper or unclean thing be brought into the building or remain in it. He provided it with a number of sacred vessels of gold and silver, and with such a quantity of clerical robes that not even the doorkeepers, who filled the humblest office in the church, were obliged to wear their everyday clothes when in the performance of their duties. He took great pains to improve the church reading and singing, for he was well skilled in bow, although he neither read in public nor sang, except in a low tone and with others. 27. He was very active in aiding the poor, and in that great and open generosity which the Greeks call alms, so much so, indeed, that he not only made a point of giving in his own country and his own kingdom, but when he discovered that there were Christians living in poverty in Syria, Egypt, and Africa, at Jerusalem, Alexandria, and Carthage, he had compassion on their wants, and used to send money over the seas to them. The reason that he earnestly strove to make friends with the kings beyond seas was that he might get help and relief to the Christians living under their rule. He cared for the Church of St. Peter, an apostle. He cared for the Church of St. Peter, the apostle, at Rome, above all other holy and sacred places, and heaped high its treasury with a vast wealth of gold, silver, and precious stones. He sent great and countless gifts to the popes, and throughout his whole reign, the wish that he had nearest his heart was to re-establish the ancient authority of the city of Rome under his care and by his influence, and to defend and protect the Church of St. Peter, and to beautify and enrich it out of his own store above all other churches. Nevertheless, although he held it in such veneration, only four times did he repair or travel to Rome to pay his vows and make his supplications during the whole 47 years that he reigned. Question number one. Looking back to the first page of this lesson, what are some of the chief religious reforms implemented or put in place by Charlemagne? Page 11. Looking back to the second page of this lesson, what are some of the chief educational reforms implemented by Charlemagne? Question number three. Describe what Charlemagne enjoyed studying in school. Question number four. Describe how Charlemagne was charitable to others outside his own kingdom. This concludes Wednesday's lesson.